can be hard at first, though. There's a little bit of when you hear their name, it's like, oh, I don't want him to. Oh, wait, I do now. I want him to do it.
Yeah, right. It's just hard. I mean, their first two draft picks were from Alabama and Texas. And, you know, it's like, man, that is rough.
That's tough.
But, I mean, oh, well.
It's time for the Brew and Shavers Sports Podcast.
Darren, there's no college football. There's no college basketball. But nope. You know what there is this week? It's almost May, which means the Kentucky Derby is Saturday.
That's right. That's right.
Are you ready to make some picks?
I am ready.
I can hear it now. Churchill Downs. Oh, what a fun event that is every year. And do you have a favorite horse this year, or are you waiting to kind of do some studying a little closer?
I'm going to study a little bit closer because, you know, it's amazing how with horse racing especially, there's always just so much conversation about it seems to be there's one horse that everybody talks about until you get right there on it. You know, when it really starts, then all of a sudden, this horse is seen as a long shot. But the way they've trained, and if you look at the way they performed at similar tracks and all, it's really amazing how quickly that all changes. So I'm gonna let the true experts talk a little bit more before I really, because I think it's gonna be a pretty wide open field. Even in the early like conjecture and conversation, there's a few names that keep popping up. Seems like it's gonna be a pretty wide open field.
Yeah, it's always a lot of fun to watch. Yep. Looking forward to it. With the Kentucky Derby still to come, we just spent the weekend with the NFL draft.
Oh, yeah.
And once again, in fact, Darren, for the 18th straight year, the SEC has the most picks of any conference.
Which, are you surprised by that? I'm not.
It wasn't really close, was it?
No, it really wasn't. Can we say what a surprise, though, was that the Pac-12 was second? I honestly didn't see that coming. If we just want to be very honest, I did not see the Pac-12 being the number two team, even though they only beat out the big team by, like, I think it was like one player. But still, they still came in at number two, which is surprising.
SEC finishes with 59 players taken, 10 from Alabama, 8 from Georgia, 6 from LSU, and 6 from Missouri. And out of those 6 from LSU, 3 were in the first round. Have to mention that.
That's right.
And how about the SEC showing up in terms of states? The top 5 producing states of players who grew up, played high school ball in certain states and were drafted. Florida, number 1 with 28 players. Texas with 24. Georgia with 23. There's that outlier, California, 18, and Louisiana at 12. And when you look at the populations for all those states, it's extraordinary that Louisiana is in the top 5.
It really is. But that's, again, not surprising to us because we see the level of ball that takes place in this state on Friday nights. So that's not surprising at all.
Absolutely. How did you think Nick Saban did on he was doing some with the game day crew, college game day crew, doing some analysis.
I tell you what, I don't think it was a stretch that anybody thought he could be a broadcaster. I mean, yeah, you know, he's kind of got that cool demeanor. He's obviously very intelligent, has just a wealth of knowledge to pull from. But for it to be one of his biggest things for the longest amount of time that he's been on to do something like that, I thought it was an absolute success. I felt like he did really, really well.
I thoroughly enjoyed it. The guy knows football.
Yep.
He brought a depth of knowledge and insight that we don't often see. There's very few people have the experience that Coach Saban has. Yeah. Speaking of Coach Saban, this was the last draft with players that he coached. He finishes his career with 133 draft picks, including 47 first rounders. That is absolutely phenomenal.
It's hard to even comprehend. It really is. Mm. 47 first round draft picks. That's amazing.
The draft set an all-time attendance record for the 3 days of the draft. I think they reached 700,000 people. So kudos to Detroit.
That's right.
It's been a long time since 700,000 people had a reason to even go to Detroit. So
that's a valid point. That didn't include hockey. Let's say that.
Give it up to the NFL draft.
That's right. But yeah, and the first round was really, I mean, there's always a lot more spectacle to it. So it's, but the NFL has really stepped up what the first round looks like on that first night. Kind of pulling the first round out and making it a night by itself, I think it's ended up being a really good call by the league, because it really has increased the amount of attention that the draft has gotten. And I think it's really stepped up the whole thing. It's been really impressive.
Yep. And just to needle our Big Ten friends, LSU has officially supplanted Ohio State as wide receiver university, the most wide receivers taken in the draft since 2000. They are one ahead of Ohio State now. So good job, Tigers.
That's right. And Michigan tried real hard, but still didn't get as many players in 1 year as Alabama's record. So just throw that in there too.
History is important. And speaking of history, why don't we go ahead and pause right now for This Week in Sports History.
Babe Ruth hits his first home run. On May 6, 1950, George Herman, Babe Ruth Jr., hit his first major league home run, thus launching a prolific career as a hitter. Ruth began his major league baseball career in 1914 pitching for the Boston Red Sox. In 1927, he hit 60 home runs for the New York Yankees, setting a single season record that would stand for 34 years.
Oh, thank you.
Let's head over to our weekly look at baseball top 25. And again, the SEC is dominating. Darren, you've been high on the Aggies all year. They're still at the number one spot.
They sure are. And they are still showing that it doesn't matter if they get you with their bats or from the mound, they can get you. Even though they did lose a game this week in their series, they're still just so incredible.
Are they chanting Omaha yet in College Station?
Oh, you know they are. Probably walking down the street headed to the game.
The Razorbacks at number 2, Tennessee at 3, Kentucky at 8, South Carolina at 15, Mississippi State 16,
yep.
Vanderbilt 17, Georgia 19, OU 22, and Alabama at 23. Those are your SEC teams in the top 25. Darren, how many is that?
10 teams in the top 25. That really is incredible.
Phenomenal. Doesn't matter what the sport is. SEC shows up.
Absolutely.
And we are getting closer to Omaha, so it's going to be exciting to watch.
It really is. It's going to really be interesting to see how all the seedings shake out and how many SEC teams end up in Omaha. It's going to be really really interesting to watch how that all works out.
Now that we are in between seasons, we're waiting for college football season to start again. We recently finished college basketball season. We thought we'd do a ranking of the top 5 SEC coaches, both in men's basketball and in football. And so joining Darren and I tonight are Zach down wearing the, I think that's an OU jersey, or OU shirt. Yep. Boomer Sooner. And we have Brandon, who recently on the show, big Tennessee fan, sporting the Titans shirt. Are you feeling good about the Titans draft, Brandon?
I'm better. I had a bit of a knee jerk reaction when Joe Alt went to the Chargers at number 5. I was pretty upset with that. I was really hoping he'd come to the Titans. So we settled for that Alabama guy, and I hope he turns out well. I mean, the Titans have the best offensive line coach in the league, and I know that Bill Callahan was excited about J.C. Latham, even in the early draft process. So hopefully it'll turn out just fine. And I've been reading more about him. He's a good kid and great football player. But honestly, I was wanting Alt, but you know, that's how the draft shakes out sometimes. So hopefully we got a good pick. Hopefully that'll be a perennial Pro Bowl type player that starts for 10 years. And that's what I'm hoping for anyway. There are other picks. Sweat in the second round was a bit of a surprise. I knew they would draft a defensive back, and Cooper DeJean was sitting there, and I was pretty excited. And again, we picked somebody else. And again, is, you know, even worse than Alabama is the Texas guy. I was surprised. I mean, but that guy is a monster, though.
Yeah.
My God. He's the Outland Trophy winner, almost 370 pounds. I mean, that guy is a unit. And I'm hoping he can kind of eat up some blockers for Jeffrey Simmons and linebackers and, just make it work.
Brandon, I found that when your team drafts somebody and they wear your colors now and do well, it doesn't really matter where they played college.
Right. I know.
It can be hard at first, though. There's a little bit of, when you hear their name, it's like, oh, I don't want him to. Oh, wait, I do now. I want him to do it.
Yeah, right. It's just hard. I mean, their first two draft picks were from Alabama and Texas. And you know, it's like, man, that is rough.
That's tough.
But, I mean, oh, well. They're good players, and I'm sure they'll do a great job. So,
absolutely.
Well, let's jump right in and make some rankings here on SEC coaches. And we'll go ahead and start with basketball. Darren and Brandon, you guys are going to do the basketball portion tonight. And top five coaches, you guys want to go from start at five and work your way up to one, or start with one and go down to five? And Zach and I will pipe in and tell you where you're wrong.
All right.
Go ahead, Brandon. Give us five, four, three, two, one.
Okay. Number five, I was really torn between Buzz Williams from Mississippi State and the new guy, one of the new guys, Moser out of Oklahoma, where I was really torn between who I wanted to put at five there. And
wait a second, isn't Buzz Williams
at A&M?
Sorry. I was really torn between those. You know, Buzz has significantly more tournament appearances than Moser, but I think I gave the edge to Moser, so I'm sticking with Moser at number five just because of. He's been pretty successful at Oklahoma. 54-45 overall record. It's not the greatest, but I think they've been down. They've been down in basketball, but I think I think this upcoming season is a little bit more hopeful. So that's why he went over the edge for me at number five.
Zach, you were shaking your head. You're the resident OU fan.
Yeah.
So what do you think about Brandon's analysis there?
I think the OU fans would be somewhat surprised that Porter Moser is kind of getting in a top five ballot right now. It's just mainly because, I guess, coming from the Big 12, it's pretty tough schedule and playing against teams, but also for the fact that recruiting-wise it's been hard for him to get his guys. Yeah. He's missed a lot during the portal run. And so along that with kind of like how the football standard's high with your facilities, but the basketball would almost be on the opposite end of having a stadium that's been around for a very, very long time. So they're just, it's kind of been the opposite view from the Oklahoma standpoint of not feeling too good with Porter Moser right now. Yeah. So seeing it from a SEC fan standpoint, it kind of brings it up a little bit and be like, oh, maybe I'm just overreacting right now.
Yeah, and with the change of conference too, I think that's gonna mm-hmm. help slightly, even though the SEC is tough still, but mm-hmm. arguably the Big 12's the hardest conference in the country. So I mean, I don't know. I just that's what I thought. I mean,
you have to wonder what would have it been like if Sister Jean had come with them to OU. Mm-hmm.
There's the missing piece of the puzzle right there.
I don't know how that wasn't in the contract.
Darren, who's your number five?
I was to say, interestingly enough, we did not talk about these in advance at all. We wanted to kind of have the genuine conversation of reaction to who everybody's picks were. Coming in at number five for me from Oklahoma is Porter Moser. How's that?
Really?
Yeah. I need to start. I just need to clip this video right here and just start sharing it across all the OU fans.
To me, I think the fact he's been at Oklahoma, what, 2 years?
Yeah, I think
it's been so.
And as Brandon said,
he's been there 3 years.
Has he been there 3 years? Yeah. Okay. Well, that hurts my argument a little bit, but as Brandon said, he's 54 and 45 is not really what you want to see in that first 3 years, but there's a track record there. You know, he knows how to get to the tournament. I think Zach, you're right. Some of the portal stuff, and if you look at some of the recruiting stuff, that's been a little difficult, but if he can get that worked out, the ability to win, to put together a game plan, to get guys where they need to be, to do things in the right moment. He's demonstrated that record over the process of his career. So for me, there's a little bit of the belief that if you just get a couple of things to kind of work in your direction, you can start to turn that corner. The fourth year will be very pivotal. He might drop from 5 to 16 in a hurry, depending on how year 4 goes, because he might be on the way out the door. But I think there's still that track record there that gives you a little bit of belief that it can, because it's an established track record. He wasn't somewhere for 2 years, you know, won a conference championship, and then all of a sudden was a Big 12 coach. There's an established track record of doing things on a big scale. So that to me was one of the kind of tipping points to put him at number 5.
All right, Brandon, how about your number 4?
Excuse me, just coming off of recent success, I had to go with Nate Oates at Alabama, number 4. You know, they had a great season this year, great run in the tournament, Final Four appearance. He's had 7 tournament appearances in his career. He was rumored for just about any open job that opened up after the tournament. He stuck at Alabama, stuck with it at Alabama, stayed there. And I think they are a hot team right now. And you know, they're only going to get better. I mean, I haven't necessarily looked at recruiting lately, but I'm sure it's going to help them that they made the Final Four. And, you know, they've got a solid team and he's a great coach. His record at Alabama is 117-54 in 5 years. I mean, that's great. I mean, he's only going to get better. So I had him at number 4. What was I going to say? Oh yeah. He's got a 213-97 career record. So, I mean, this guy's a winner. He's a winner. And I think, you know, if you stay, he's been there 5 years. So that's a great time to establish his culture. Mm-hmm. He's got his guys there. And I mean, like I said, it's only going to get better from here, I think.
Well, let me go ahead and chime in before y'all comment. I'll add to everything Brandon just said. He's got 7 tournament appearances, 3 sweet 16s, and that's why Nate Oates was my number 4.
Yeah. Good.
How do you guys do this?
What are the odds of this? No kidding. Well, there you go. There's number 4. Here, Brandon, I'll get my number 3 next and see if yours matches, okay?
Okay.
All right, so at number 3, I wavered a little bit on this one as well, but like Brandon's been talking about with his first couple, but I think you have to give credence to what Bruce Pearl has done and is doing in the SEC. when you look at the turnaround he put together, both Tennessee and Auburn, even though there's been a little bit of a fall off in that they underperform when the pressure's really, really on at Auburn, I still feel like, again, he's got 662 career wins, 345 of those are in the SEC, 13 tournament appearances, and five Sweet 16s. Those are big, big numbers. He's fun to watch. On top of that, when he's on the sidelines, unless he's playing your team, he's fun to watch on the sidelines. And I don't think at two different schools you can really argue with the success he's found and what he's done in a pretty quick manner with both of those teams. And I think Tennessee fans would be honest in saying part of what they're experiencing now is kind of for the floor. Part of that is because of the floor that Bruce Pearl built for them. He brought the program up when he came to Knoxville. So to me, that puts Bruce Pearl at the number three coach in the conference.
Yeah. So my top three has kind of that theme of underperforming under pressure. But number three is Bruce Pearl. Yeah, it really is.
That is awesome.
That guy turned Tennessee around.
Oh yeah,
and really, you know, set the standard. And Tennessee basketball is a legit program now, and it wasn't before Bruce Pearl. And he really did a lot for Tennessee. I hate the way it ended with his tenure there, but you know. He was trying anyway, cheating, but trying. But he really turned around. And then when he went to Auburn, honestly, I was like, what? Like, yep. what is he going to do at Auburn? Like, he's just desperate for a job, you know? But man, look at them now. Like, that guy is a heck of a coach.
Yep.
He may have been desperate at the time.
Right? That's right.
Yeah, I mean, like he is a really, really good basketball coach. And yep. Not to mention, like you said, he's fun to watch. Like he's got a second career in broadcasting the day he retires from coaching.
Absolutely.
Because I mean he is a personality. Yep. And I mean I think he's a great guy. I wasn't, you know, like I said, when he got fired at Tennessee, I wasn't a big fan of him for a while, but I've really grown to kind of respect him more recently. Good coach. Yep. Number three, definitely number three.
All right, let's move on to number two.
Go ahead, Brandon. I'll let you grab number two.
Okay. All right. So this may be a surprise or maybe not, but my number two is Calipari. Only because when you think of John Calipari, you think of national championships. But there's actually like I had to read it twice the other day. There's only one.
He's right.
Won one national championship.
Exactly.
Which is more than Rick Barnes by any means. But he's won one national championship and been to six or seven Final Fours. You know, those aren't really great, you know, percentages there. I'm going to sound old school, but I don't like the one and done culture that he really started at Kentucky. I mean, he had a brand new team every year basically, and was successful with them obviously. But mm-hmm. I don't know. I'm just not a huge fan of him personally. That's why I stuck him at number two, for more personal reasons, really. But his winning he's got a winning record. He's been to a national championship. He's won. He's been to Final Fours. Great coach. I'm not sure how he is. His character is, but seems like a good guy, I guess. But I don't know. I just think that my number one is just a class act and is just a better overall coach than him.
All right. So I'll go ahead and give my number two and my number one, cause I'm pretty sure they're going to be similar, but not exact. And then you can give your number one. My number two is Rick Barnes. And I don't think you can argue of all active SEC coaches, He is one of only two coaches that has over 800 wins. 200 of those have been in the SEC, and he has 28 tournament appearances throughout the process of his career,
which is more than Calipari.
Exactly. So, exactly.
That was kind of my edge, one of my reasons too.
And to me, when you put them side by side, the reason Rick Barnes is two, and for me, John Calipari is one, is when you look at has been able to win the national championship.
Yeah.
Calipari has twice as many wins in the SEC and has been able to win the national championship. So that's what puts Rick Barnes at two and John Calipari at one for me. I will be honest and tell you, I think Nate Oates over the next like 3 to 5 years, if he stays at Alabama, can obliterate this list and be standing at the top of the heap going, look at me.
Definitely.
Without question. But right now, where they stand today, Rick Barnes two, John Calipari one. And Brandon, I'm assuming Rick Barnes.
Yeah. Rick Barnes is number one. Maybe a little biased there, but it's hard to argue with a national championship. It's facts. I mean, Calipari has a national championship, but the one of the biggest factors for me is it was just recent success. Kentucky has not been very good. They haven't been up to their standard the last really three seasons, even though they did beat Tennessee this year, but we won't talk about that. But Rick Barnes has just steadily gotten better and better and better and better, and there's really no drop-off. Like, next year, they're probably, hopefully, going to be just as good as they were this year. And so, just if I look at just recent success, I think Barnes has the edge.
And I think that's a fair point.
All right, some great picks. Zach, any commentary on the top five from Darren and Brandon?
No, I think they're all great picks. I would kind of lean towards Brandon with going with Rick Barnes number one overall. But
really,
that's kind of the only kind of opinion that I have on the top five.
Yeah, I like the Rick Barnes pick as well. At Calipari, Barnes never had that level of talent that Calipari had year in and year out.
Yeah,
and so. But yeah, it's you could make a case, as you both did, for Calipari and Barnes at number one. So great lists, great picks. How about we move over to some football now?
All right.
Anybody counting down the days? How many days, Darren?
I think we're within like 130, if I'm not mistaken. Wow. We're really close.
And we still got Omaha coming.
That's
up.
Right. Omaha is on around the corner.
Yeah, for some of us at least.
I think Brandon might be the only one in this picture that might be celebrating. Maybe.
Just looking that way. Yeah.
I went to West Virginia's spring game this past Saturday. That was really fun.
That was cool. Quite the show, wasn't it?
Yeah, they look good. Pat McAfee and Pat White were the head coaches for each side, so that was neat. And they unveiled some new uniforms, and they look really good. They're kind of retro, but still modern at the same time. Like, it's exciting.
All right,
very cool.
That just whets the appetite.
That's
for
right.
I know. It was so awesome seeing football like in person. Yeah. I was like, wow,
absolutely,
man, it got me pumped up.
Zach, you ready to make some picks? We'll do our top five, and I'm gonna start with you. And I feel like we're on a game show. Brandon and Darren almost got the same ones. And where was it? Those? How well do you know? Like, were those dating shows or something?
The and match I, game.
I have a feeling Zach and I are gonna totally fail.
Yeah, I don't think the odds are in our favor.
All right, Zach, who's your number five?
Okay, so number five, I don't really know if I want to like dig in too much into this guy. Like, it's the Texas head coach Steve Sarkisian. I put him in at number five. He's had a pretty good success the last couple of years. Before that, was a little bit iffy as a in the head coach position, but I think he's a pretty good offensive minded coach. They seem to do pretty well on the recruiting trail and in the portal as well. And they just kind of need to get, kind of like how we're talking the same thing on the basketball side, has had decent success. But when it kind of comes to the big game, they haven't really gone past that hump yet. So I slotted him at number five.
Yeah, he's certainly building something at Texas, and they're going to be a force to be reckoned with this year. He didn't make my top five. And part of it is just I was looking at SEC records overall, and it's not a slight at Sarkisian at all. I think he's a really good coach. But my number five, I have Hugh Freeze. Now, he was 6-7 last year at Auburn. But once he finds the right quarterback for his system, he's proven already in 5 years previously at Ole Miss, he went 39-25. So the guy can coach. He just needs to stay off of his cell phone and dialing certain numbers to certain.
Yep.
And I, from all, everything he says, he's moved on from that. That's in the past. But the guy can coach. And so I've got, I think he's going to turn it around at Auburn. I've got Freeze at my number five.
I think Zach's number five, will clip that into a short and title it "Even Oklahoma Loves Texas." What do you think?
Can you put some like throw up emojis around? Yeah.
I was about to say that's not right. We wouldn't do that to you.
All right, number four. I don't know how y'all will think about this pick, but I have Kalen DeBoer as my number four head coach.
Interesting.
Now, I know he's coming from the Pac-12, and before that he was just in the Power 5 conference. I want to say – I forget where he was before.
Fresno State.
Yeah.
And so whenever I was digging in, when I first saw the hire, I was like, that's a kind of an iffy hire. But digging in a little bit, he's got a pretty good offensive mind, and I think he can – kind of tap into kind of the pool that Alabama fans can give him when it comes to like on the financial side and kind of bringing in players, and seeing that his record was 104-12 in his total coaching career, and then 25-3 in the Power Fives, pretty good. Now, it's not going to carry over all the way into the SEC. I'm sure you're going to have some losses, but I still think he's a pretty good head coach.
It's hard to argue with his record. Overall, 104-12. Mm-hmm. A lot of those wins came at Sioux Falls, which I think is an NAIA school. 2 years at Fresno State, 2 years at Washington. I didn't have him in my top five just because I want to see how he does in the SEC. I think he's going to have success. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure what level of success. Of course, he has all the resources he could possibly need. So my number four is Josh Heupel. 55-20 overall record, 27-12 at Tennessee, 14-10 in the SEC. I like what Heupel's doing at Tennessee. Darren, we talked about when they first hired him that he was the right person for the Tennessee job. And he's got a stud coming in at quarterback this year. And so I got Heupel at four. Brandon, you're a big Tennessee fan. What do you think?
I think that's a little low, but I mean, he does. He's an incredible recruiter, and they have Nico going to start at quarterback. Just signed a guy right behind him, another 5-star quarterback out of I think the Chattanooga area in Tennessee, and they have. I saw a way too early mock draft, but they've got the potential number one pick in the draft next year.
Yeah. Is that a D lineman?
Yeah.
An edge rusher? Yeah.
His name is leaving me right now. I am drawing a blank. It's been a long day, but yeah, I mean, he's mocked to be the number one pick in the draft next year. So, and that's a Heupel guy. So,
well, if you're not pleased where I put Heupel, you're going to hate my number three pick, Brandon.
Oh no.
I'm just going to go ahead and rip the Band-Aid off. So Brandon, Tennessee fans,
it's Clark Lee. No,
let it out. Let the frustration out. I'll tell you about letting frustration out. This is really funny. So, my son and I went to a concert recently. You guys ever hear of Riley Green? He's a country singer.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. He's from Alabama. And so when he told the crowd here in Louisiana that he's from Alabama, everyone in the arena booed. And he just sat there and said, all right, let it out, let it out. So Tennessee fans, I'm telling you, go ahead, let it out, let it out.
Right.
Because my number three is Lane Kiffin. Overall record, 84-47, 33-15 in the SEC. He has done amazing at Ole Miss, where that program has been in the past. Three straight bowl appearances, first 10-win regular season in Ole Miss history. There, it's no secret that Ole Miss does not have the resources that the bigger SEC schools have or the NIL, and he's still winning. So I've got Kiffin at my number three. I think, Brandon, he's matured a lot from that 1 year at Tennessee.
Oh, absolutely.
His USD. Yeah. I don't think he's the same person, because back then he was difficult to like.
Yep.
Yeah.
So, all right. What about you, Zach?
I think we're going to start rolling with some of the same picks, because I did the same thing. So sorry, Brandon, but I had Lane Kiffin as number three as well. Kind of the similar things you were mentioning, just of how much success he's kind of brought to Ole Miss these last couple of years. And just it kind of seems like he has them on a pretty good steady pace. It's kind of hard to think about him having this much success when you think about his USC days and even him at Tennessee, but just kind of more on the recency side and kind of the big push he's gotten the Ole Miss kind of boosters to just, I guess, throw everything they have into to this 1 year seems to be kind of putting them in a good trajectory.
Darren, you're big on Tennessee. What do you think about Kiffin at three?
I'll say this: Lane Kiffin leaving Tennessee. Nothing personal, Brandon. It's one of my top five like football moments in my. No, I'm. That night was crazy, but I tell
that
you,
was.
You and I have talked about it. I'm on the Lane train. I think that's a fair pick at number three, especially when you look at not only what he's done on the field, but how he's elevated that program. I don't think you can argue with his success on every level. And Zach, I think you make a good point. When you think about the Lane Kiffin that walked out of Tennessee after 1 year, that was, I mean, was basically refused. We've got you another plane. You can't even get on our team jet. You know, when he was dismissed from USC, it's hard to comprehend that guy could come in and do what he's done at Ole Miss. But Ben, I think that goes to your point. I think we're looking at a different person than that was during that time. And you can see it manifest on the field as well in how he's dealing with the players, dealing with the program, and the success he's finding on the field.
Okay, Brandon is grinding his teeth. So let's move on to our number two. Zach, who do you have at number two?
Well, I guess to make all the locals very happy, my number two pick is Brian Kelly. I just think that he's had, even before coming to LSU, his long tenure at Notre Dame, he's just had steady success. He may have never reached that kind of pinnacle of going above, like conference championship, national championships, getting up there to like what our number one, which most of us already kind of know who is. But he's just, you can always expect him to get up almost near that double-digit range of wins a season. So that's why I think he's kind of ahead of all the others in the pack that are on in the SEC.
Yeah, I agree. I got Brian Kelly at number two as well. 304, 103-2 record. In his career, only two teams have ever finished the season below 500.
Wow.
He's the winningest active coach. And, of course, he came to LSU because he thought that gave him a better chance to win a national championship than at Notre Dame. And so I think the verdict's still out on where he'll be in college coaching history, but he certainly has won a lot. You guys are quiet.
Well, I mean, I agree.
Yeah, I agree as well.
Kind of a weird guy, but he's a great football coach.
Hey, you can't say that. He's family.
Yeah, right.
Well, let's go to our number one, and I think, Zach, we're going to be three for three on these last three picks. Who do you got number one?
I have Clark Lee. No, I'm just kidding. Yes. Yes.
Finally, somebody sees it.
And there goes all the credibility of the show.
Yeah, I have Kirby Smart. I mean, there's really nothing really else that you have to add to it. Just the amount of success that he was able to gain, even after just starting as a head coach, that bowl game in the Rose Bowl that kind of started all that double overtime win against Oklahoma. I guess I just like thinking some negative thoughts, I guess, throughout this top five picks, but just the amount of success that he's been able to bring and kind of keep moving forward. It's just an unstoppable force, he seems like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think you're absolutely right. The guy is 56-9 in the SEC. Two national championships. Yeah. He's built a juggernaut at Georgia. Now with Saban retired, I think it's clear he's the best coach. The only one that we talked about on this list that has won one national championship, let alone two. And yeah. So I think you got to put Kirby at number one. What do the rest of you guys think?
Totally.
Yeah, I completely agree. I mean, when you look at a list of coaches in any conference and you've got one guy that has multiple national championships, I don't know how you don't put him at the top of the list, especially when you add to that he's in single-digit losses in SEC football. Yeah. Goodness gracious, that's that's impressive.
The guy I like, he's definitely not a top five coach by any means, but I like what Drinkwitz is doing in Missouri.
Absolutely.
I think he's got potential to be in the conversation as a top five coach if they keep that momentum going.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's definitely some guys looking from the outside on my list. And I think Brent Venables is a good coach at Oklahoma. And, you know, he's just in his second, just finished his second year.
Mm-hmm.
I think he has a chance to do very well. And then we've got some coaches that are just fighting for their lives.
Yeah.
Clark Lee, Billy Napier, Sam Pittman.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
But we'd like to know, for those of you who are watching and listening, who are your top five SEC men's basketball coaches and SEC football coaches? Drop us a line. Let us know. Agree, disagree with the picks that we've made today. We want to hear from you.
Absolutely.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Brew and Shaver Sports Podcast. It's fun to make these lists, Darren. And this is one of the great things about sports. Nobody is going to completely agree anytime you do any kind of rankings.
That's exactly right.
And that's the fun. We advocate for our teams, our coaches. Mm-hmm. We argue. We make our cases. And that's just a great thing about sports.
Yep. Agree 1,000%. That's what part of what makes it so fun is there you can have four people having the same conversation and see it four completely different ways, and everybody still enjoys the conversation. That's really awesome.
So we really want to hear from you. Who are your top five football coaches in the SEC and top five men's basketball coaches? We'd love to hear from you. In the comments, be sure to hit that like button, that subscribe button, so you get notified anytime new episodes come out. Thank you again for listening, joining us on this journey, and we'll see you next week. Until then, y'all take care.
Have a great week. Thank you for making the Brew and Shaver Sports Podcast your go-to sports show. Be sure to subscribe, rate, and review our show if you haven't already. Your feedback is important. Let us know what you think about this week's show. Send an email to brewandshavers@gmail.com or text to our text line, 318-390-3599. We look forward to hearing from you. Thank you again for listening to the Brew and Shavers Sports Podcast. See you next week.